1-800-449-8686, the number to the Phil Hendry Show. And I talked to Mike Schaefer. He got a guest for us this afternoon. You know Vernon Dozier from your days playing high school ball. We're going to have Coach Dozier on in a minute. After missing a football pass last week, a 10-year-old Florida boy is nursing two broken arms he allegedly suffered at the hands of his own coach. The coach, a 34-year-old Boys and Girls Club volunteer, is facing charges of child abuse and is now tied to the list of violent incidents nationwide that have taken much of the fun out of youth sports this year. I don't know how many violent incidents there have been involving coaches, and I think that that's probably overstating it, whoever did this story, Associated Press. But coaches, you know, and the way they treat their players is always uppermost in the minds of any parent that has a child involved in athletics. Vernon, how are you?
Very good, Phil. And my best to Michael. I hadn't talked to him in a long time.
We have Mike Schaefer, you're aware of, as a high school player?
I had Mike in some of the scouting combines that I was involved in when he was a high school player. And he's a good man. I didn't think he'd get into the radio business, but...
Well, he does a very good job for us.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. He's a good ball player.
Well, Coach Dozier, you're 20 years at the high school and Pop Warner level. What do you think about a coach that breaks the arms of his players?
Well, along with everybody else, I'm very shocked. That's just not the way that you deal with an athlete. You do not put your hands on an athlete. You do not get violent with them, especially a 10-year-old. I'm used to dealing with Pop Warner players as well as high school players. You don't do that, and I'm shocked. Obviously, I'm very, very shocked.
What do you do? First of all, why does a coach get so worked up over a 10-year-old kid that he pushes him like that?
Well, I don't know. This coach obviously has some impulse control problems. I don't know why he is the way he is, but I will tell you that you do get worked up in the game, and you get involved in it. But if you cannot control your temper and control yourself to the point where you can't keep your hands off your players, you should not be coaching any sport, football. You should not be coaching athletics at the youth level.
What do you do in an instant where you're angry at a player, when you're angry at a team going awry in a competition or even in a practice? How do you deal with that? Because there's a lot of emotional coaches, right?
Oh, some of the best coaches are emotional.
I mean, I'm thinking of Woody Hayes, Vince Lombardi. These are the coaches that I think of when I think of at the college and pro level. Guys are emotional.
Well, Coach Hayes was a very emotional guy, and of course he got involved in a situation, I guess, where he hit a player.
Coach Hayes, Bobby Knight.
Bobby Knight, same thing. And no, what I do, I command the respect of my players. And when I tell someone to do something, they don't do it. They know what happens.
For instance?
Well, I'll give you an example. If I tell a player that he is supposed to run a certain route, like a wide receiver is supposed to run a certain route, or I give a player an in-game assignment and he does not do that, let me tell you what, my players know exactly how I feel about things. They do not, if they care at all about their own happiness on the football field, they don't mess around with me at all. And if I find a player has not done something that I've asked him to do, that player gets an immediate timeout. I tell that kid to go over to the bench and take a knee and just think about what he did.
And you give him a timeout?
I give a timeout.
I know what that is. So in other words, if a player doesn't do what you want him to do, you tell him to go over to the bench and just kneel down, huh?
He takes a knee and he thinks about what he did. So, no, they know not to mess around with me. We had two players get into a fight. I'll make an example for you, Phil. We had two players in practice get into a fight last week. And I made both of them. And I don't mess around with my players, and this is the reason why we are a successful football program.
By the way, you coach in the Cincinnati high school system, correct?
Yes, I do at Taylor High School, and have been for the last 20 years.
Okay. So wait, you had two players get into a fight?
Two players got into a fight. I made them stand near the fan. We have a large fan on our sideline that pumps cool air over the bench, and I made both of those players stand near the fan and drink water so that they can't be with the team. They have to stand there and think about what they did.
So they're standing where?
They're over near the fan.
Oh, you have the big fans that they have to cool the players off.
That's right. I make both of them go over to the fan, stand there and drink water or drink Gatorade, whichever they want to have. And when they hear me say that, get over to the fan and either drink Gatorade or water, or if there's Hawaiian Punch, drink that. I'm going to tell you something, they're not happy.
Coach, we're talking with Vernon Dozier, a high school coach, Pop Warner coach, about how you deal with players who are not doing the do, who are not getting the job done. We're talking about it in light of a 10-year-old boy had his arms broken inadvertently by a football coach that got angry at him and pushed him. And, you know, I mean, we are dealing with kids here.
Absolutely dealing with kids. And you're talking about kids who need to have discipline. They have to be locked into place, Phil. I don't at all condone striking a child, but I want to tell you something. I am tough with my players.
What happens? You got a ball player, for instance, who fumbles too much. Obviously, that there's a guy who has to go through a lot of fumble drills.
No, I don't. What we do is we need to reinforce that he cannot fumble any longer. That is something that's going to destroy a football's offensive momentum. Generally, the punishment for that, if they are a college student, is I force them to lay down on the sideline and smoke a cigarette, drink a beer. And until they understand what they did.
And if they're in college, what?
If they're in college, they smoke a cigarette, drink a beer. If they're in high school, I force them. The punishment for them is to go to Arby's and get a roast beef sandwich. What I do is, here's a $5 bill. See if you can hold on to that. And then they go down to Arby's and get a beef and cheddar sandwich, and they have to sit there and eat that thing and drink a Coke. Now, for me, that is...
Now, that's if they fumble.
That's if they fumble too much. Yes, sir. I don't mess around, and there's a lot of high school coaches who do, and there's a lot of parents out there who do. And for me, I only believe in one thing.
All right, now you're talking about disciplining your players.
Just let me finish, Phil. I believe in one thing, good, strong discipline.
I understand that, but you're talking about disciplining your players by forcing them to stand near a fan and drink water or to smoke a cigarette and drink a beer.
That is correct, yes, sir.
All right, and that's for the college guy who fumbles too much?
That's college. High school player, he must go get an Arby's beef and cheddar, eat it, and drink a Coke.
All right, how about throwing interceptions? You have quarterbacks who, my understanding is one of the reasons why the coach got angry at this kid is because he didn't pull off an assignment.
Throwing too many interceptions for one season can really devastate you. I had all the quarterbacks leave practice and go to a massage parlor at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. It really, really upsets me when they do that.
No, what we're talking about with the quarterbacks throw interceptions.
Yes, sir.
You have them go and get a massage at the Ritz-Carlton.
Yes, I do. Every quarterback must go get a massage. Well, tackling problems are the same. Missed tackles. I had the whole defense go to Las Vegas with their parents and immediately get oral sex, hopefully within a few hours of arrival. I cannot abide these ball players ruining the offensive momentum or defensive momentum of a football team.
All right, so
you got to understand, Phil, in football, things are a little bit different than they are in normal life, but everything is the same in terms of discipline.
Okay, but a defensive team that's missing tackles, you have them immediately go to Las Vegas with their parents and obtain oral sex.
From one of the Mustang Ranch or whatever you have, yeah.
And for guys that are throwing too many interceptions, they have to go get a massage at the Ritz-Carlton?
That's correct.
Okay, it's been a long time since I've played football.
Well, a lot of things have changed, Phil, but I think that discipline is the same, you know.
What happens when you lose a football game? What happens when you lose? This is when players really feel the wrath of a coach.
Well, when we lose, I make all the players come to my house and eat barbecued ribs and German potato salad. I will make them stand there and eat barbecued ribs. You stand there, mister, and you eat every one of those baby back ribs, and then have some German potato salad and then some imported German beer. Because I don't like to lose. I don't think anybody likes to lose.
And well, what happens when you win?
When we win, of course, a different story. We're excited. We're happy. I make them do wind sprints till they vomit. For me, it's a great thing, and this is what I'm talking about, Phil.
Okay, so in other words, when you're losing, when you guys lose a football game, you force them to go to your house.
Because I've got a brand new Lynx barbecue, 48 inches.
And so you do the cooking.
I do all the cooking, right, and I force them to eat barbecued ribs. I force them into the jacuzzi, and we have kegs of beer, which they are supposed to drink if they're of age. If they don't drink every drop in that keg, mister, they're going to have to deal with me on Monday.
All right, Coach Vernon Dozier is with us, who has an unusual... We're talking about the guy who broke the arms of that 10-year-old boy. It was a boys and girls club coach, a football coach. Little boy was pushed, had his arms broken. We got Vernon Dozier on because he is a high school coach of some 20 years standing, very successful in the Cincinnati high school system. He's talking about what he does when players simply are not getting the job done. For instance, if players are making mistakes out there on the field, he has them take a timeout, stand near a fan, and drink water. If they fumble too much, they're smoking a cigarette, drinking a beer, and thinking about what they did wrong. Also, he's got them going to Arby's and getting roast beef cheddar sandwiches and eating them. Tackling problems, they are required to immediately go to Las Vegas with their parents and get oral sex from a legalized brothel. And if they lose too many football games, they have to go to the coach's house and eat barbecued baby back ribs with German potato salad. There's a lot of different ways for coaches to deal with problems. I am not a coach, but I will tell you, this is unusual. Especially when he said when they win, he forces them to run wind sprints until they vomit. Now, I don't like kids being pushed around, especially on a football field. But it seems to me this guy has players who've got problems throwing interceptions, and he forces them to go get a massage at the Ritz-Carlton. Okay, so this is an unusual coach. 1-800-449-8686 is the number of the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back. One 800 449 8686. Phil Hendry Show, and we have a story. I don't know if you saw this national in scope, where a 10-year-old boy, a Florida boy, is nursing two broken arms he allegedly suffered at the hands of his own coach. The coach, a 34-year-old Boys and Girls Club volunteer, is facing charges of child abuse. This is a clear example of what people like myself have been saying all along, said Fred Eng, president of the National Alliance for Youth Sports. What have you been saying all along there, Fred? Well, he said the only way we're going to stop incidents like these from occurring is if we require parents and volunteers to go through training and ethics orientation before we allow them to coach our children. This is pretty drastic. Vernon Dozier, a high school coach, is with us from the Cincinnati high school system, and also a good friend of Mike Schaefer's. So, Vernon, when your guys make mistakes and...
dealing with a child or dealing with a young football player who has made a mistake. And
but you have some ways of dealing with mistakes by your players that may not look like punishment. For instance, you said that if a quarterback throws an interception, he must go get a massage at the Ritz-Carlton?
That's correct. That is absolutely... I don't understand what...
Well, I mean, how is that punishment? You know, there's one here, you got a field goal kicker who missed two kicks in a game, and you made him go home and watch German water sports porn. That's what it says here in the...
That is correct, yeah.
What? Why? For what?
Because you need for the player to reflect upon what it is that he has done. And I find it kind of unusual. You're a stepfather. You have children in your life.
Yes, I do. But
well, I find it unusual why you can't understand what I'm talking about here. And I'm certainly know that my method is different, but the end that we are all trying to achieve is the same, and that is the discipline of young children.
And but it says here specifically that Coach Dozier, in dealing, for instance, and this is talking about some of the great things you did last season. Your team won 9 games.
That's correct. We went to the regionals in Northeast Ohio.
Okay. But it says here, even last year when a kicker missed 2 kicks, he was required to go to his house, get his mom's Blockbuster card, and go rent German water sports porn, correct?
That is correct.
Now, would you not get into trouble with parents for having a high school kicker rent porn?
Ordinarily, I might, but this is a young boy who had been told time and again, and we had worked with him, and we had worked with him on soccer style as well as straight-ahead kicking. He had been told time and again that he needed to get out and practice more. And he would not do that. So the only thing that we could force him to do to try to drill home the lesson of discipline and how to discipline yourself to be the best possible athlete you could be is for him to, wherever he could, access certain anal porn as well as...
Okay, this is what I don't understand.
What is wrong?
How do you get a guy to kick better field goals watching German porn?
I'm not clear as to...
You're not clear. I'm not. How do you do? For instance, you got the guy here. Says here your defense, the defensive unit for the football team, was missing tackles, And they were having a bad...
Yeah, they were having a very, very... This is a bad practice they were having last summer during camp.
Okay, bad practice last summer during camp.
That's correct.
You hired strippers.
Yes, I did.
They came to the camp, into the locker room there, right?
That's correct. And they did a show. The morale went up at least...
Okay, so it's a morale problem.
At least to the part of our defense, yeah. We needed for these guys to start making some tackles and to start to really rev it up a notch for the season. So we hired strippers and had the boys go over to a TGIY. We had some beer catered in and that kind of thing. So
this is a morale problem?
I wouldn't say it's a morale problem in that instance. In the instance of our quarterbacks, it's just damn sloppy play is what I'm trying to say. So that when we lose, I got to tell you something, that's just damn sloppy play.
And so when you lose, you cook them a barbecue of baby back ribs, and they eat German potato salad, and they drink beer.
They drink beer or white wine. We do serve a white wine and a rosé of Cabernet.
Now, what do you mean a rosé of Cabernet? So that's something that you're serving when you guys lose? I'm not getting it, man. I'm not understanding it, all right? I don't...
Well, look, we got a guy who's throwing interceptions. What are you going to do with a quarterback who throws interceptions except have some girl come along and mistake his face for a bicycle seat? What I'm trying to do is...
Yeah, that's what we do with quarterbacks who throw interceptions.
Look, Mr. Henry, all I'm trying to do is get a winning program on the board, okay?
But I don't know how you get a winning program on the board, okay? I don't know how you get a team to win when after a losing football game, you have these guys sitting around a spa drinking beer.
You do that. Why? That's not punishment?
No, that doesn't sound like punishment.
You're kidding.
No!
You like that?
Yeah, I'd like that. I wouldn't mind having... What are you talking about, man? You don't like that?
I can't think of a greater living hell on earth than eating barbecued ribs and drinking beer and watching porn. I hate that.
So then what we have here, we've got different values.
Obviously, sir, we have different values, okay? You're trying to tell me that you like to watch pornography and drink alcohol and eat barbecue.
Look, I'm a...
Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying it's not a hell on earth.
Wow. Do I feel sorry for you? You must be some... Look, I'm considered to be one of the toughest coaches in my area. Athletes fear me, and they always try to do their best when they're on my team. Okay?
And they fear you because they know you're going to force them to get a massage at the Ritz-Carlton.
That's right.
And I guess that's something you'd hate, too.
I might as well have hot lead poured into my anus as...
Okay. I mean...
What are you trying to say?
What? All right, so in other words, you don't want to have a massage at the Ritz, and you don't want to have barbecue, and I suppose the idea of standing in front of a fan and drinking Hawaiian punch, that's like
pulling my fingernails out. It's like sticking bamboo under my nails and lighting it on fire. And it is for my players, too.
Where are these guys from again?
Ohio. Well, Mike told me you were weird, but I didn't know.
Mike didn't tell me you were weird, man.
What's weird about me?
So standing in front of a fan and drinking Hawaiian punch is hell.
Well, Mr. Henry, I tell you, I understand you're a kidder, and I really appreciate the aspect of your program.
I'm not kidding, man. I'm totally serious. You're telling me that you think standing in front of a fan and drinking Gatorade is hell on earth.
I know it's hell on earth. I've talked to my players. They can't stand it.
And I guess when the guys miss too many tackles and you force them to go to Las Vegas and get immediate oral sex, that's punishment.
Of course. Going to Las Vegas and getting laid and gambling, that's, oh, God. God! You know, you're starting to make me...
Okay, look, Mike, the next time you turn me on to some ex-coach of yours, I need to talk to the guy first, okay?
I don't understand it.
Never mind.
Well, it was a pleasure.
That's fine. Just, I can't deal with it any longer, man. All right, so next time we get a coach on, let me talk to the guy first, all right? The guy thinks going to Vegas, getting laid and gambling is the worst possible punishment. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Was that guy really a high school coach of yours, man? I remember when I was in high school, we had a coach. I won't say his name because he's still there. And this guy looked like, he literally, he was a football coach, he looked like his head was made out of rock. He was bald, he had those big legs, and that kind of dumb look on his face all the time. He walked around with kind of a vaguely confused look on his face, although I found out later on the guy really knew what was going on, but he had a head that looked like it was made out of granite. And his big thing was to make us run. Most coaches really like to torture you by making you run. And he particularly knew that I smoked cigarettes, so he had kicks with me. Oh, here comes Hendry. Saw that pack of Marlboros on the hood of your car out there in the student parking lot, Hendry. So why don't you get out there and start running? You know, and I knew it. It's my own damn fault for smoking, you know, on campus, but... Hey, a guy's got to have a smoke before he hits class, right? And so, stupidly, he saw it. One day, I had a pack of Marlboro cigarettes in the upper pocket of my shirt, and I was bending over. It was after practice. I had my shirt on. I was bending over to tie my shoe. The cigs dropped out of my pocket. Some idiot, I don't know who, some guy that shared a locker with me, or one of the guys in the locker next to me, walked by, kicked the cigarettes by mistake. They went sliding all the way across the floor of the locker room, right in front of this coach who's walking along to leave. He looks down, looks around, reaches, picks up the cigs, puts them in his pocket, keeps on going. And I want to say, hey, coach, those are... But then I knew it would mean another, you know, four-minute mile I'd have to run one day. So anyway, there's a list of White House Camp David guests that supposedly, I guess we're supposed to think this is horrible. These are people that actually spent a night at the White House in exchange for campaign money. You know, it's funny what people think is really shocking news, right? Don't people stay at the White House as the result of doing some favor? Isn't that how you get an invite to the White House? I mean, I don't know. You do some favor. Maybe I'm just a simple-minded, childlike kind of guy, but I don't know half the time why certain things become such shocking news. For instance, I remember listening to Rush Limbaugh one time. Didn't he say he spent the night at the White House in the Lincoln bedroom? It was when Bush was president. Well, what, Bush just let Limbaugh spend the night at the White House because what? Because he's good-looking? Because he wanted to get on his diet? Because what? Because he's a good guy. Because he supported him. Because he talks him up. Because he, you know, did him a favor. Anyway, I guess the favor of saying a guy is all right on your radio show is much less a crime as, you know, laying some money on them. But here's this list. And it's an extensive list, and it almost reads, and when you look at some of the names on this list, like Mary Steenburgen and Ted Danson, I mean, it's kind of an impressive list of Hollywood types. I noticed there's a couple of names on here, Norman Pattis and Mary Pattis. Do you know who these guys are? He was the guy that founded Westwood One. Now, I don't know whether he thought staying at the White House was going to help him put any better radio programs on the air, but Westwood One competes with the Premier in the syndication business, but I don't think it helped you, Norm. Look at all that bread you laid out to President Clinton, stayed in the bedroom, man. You still can't get a good show on the air. There's also some names on here like Will Smith, Jada Smith, Jaden Smith, Kyle Smith, Trey Smith. And I don't know whether they're related or not, okay? I know a couple of them are. Steven Spielberg, Eddie Spielberg, Bob Spielberg. What is this, Schindler's List or the people that stayed in Lincoln? Anyway. Rhea Perlman, Dennis Quaid, and Jack Quaid. They all checked in together. No, anyway, these are the Hollywood people. These are the people who the president knows from Hollywood or the entertainment business. Jimmy Buffett, Chevy Chase. Here's one. Betsy Cronkite, Walter Cronkite, and Walter Cronkite IV. Now, where's Junior, the first, the second, and the third? What happened to those three guys? Donna DeVerona and Danny DeVito. Quincy Jones, and the rest. And then you have names like, I mentioned Mary Steenburgen and Ted Danson. And listen to this. Darren Opperman, Grant Opperman, Linda Rosenblum, Maureen Schulman, Alexandra Schuster, Bill Wardlaw, Cynthia Yorkin, Alan Yorkin, Kenneth Iskall, Kiva Iskall, Zach Iskall, David Kaplan, Linda Kaplan. There ain't an Irishman on this list. Just Italians. Cheryl Sabin. Chaim Saban, Heidi Saban, and Ness Saban. Not one Irishman. And Lou Saban. I'm just kidding. You don't know who Lou Saban is. He was an old football coach. So staying in the leaking bedroom. No, in the Lincoln bedroom was obviously something you had to lay out some nice change for. The Lincoln bedroom, I guess, is where Lincoln slept, but I'm not sure. I think it has his picture in it. But wouldn't Lincoln sleep where Clinton's sleeping now? Or do you have your choice of bedrooms? How many do they have over there anyway? And what's so special about the Lincoln bedroom? Isn't that where he died? No, not died, but isn't that where he had that bad dream that he saw himself in a coffin? I think the thing's haunted, and I've heard people say that it is. Isn't that where Nixon got on his knees and prayed to Kennedy? All kinds of goofy stuff happened in the Lincoln bedroom. People are rushing, head over heels, crawling over each other to spend a night in the Lincoln bedroom. To have connubial bliss there in the Lincoln bedroom. What about the Nixon bedroom? What's wrong with that room? I bet you it's a lot more fun in the Nixon bedroom. I think they got a wet bar in there, don't they? Old Abe. And not only that, but the Nixon... Oh, I know why nobody wants to stay in the Nixon bedroom. Now, it's bugged with a direct line into the Clinton bedroom. Oh, man. Which is that? Is the Clinton bedroom? Is that the Oval Office, too? Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. That's the kind of throwaway, cheap, not really all that very funny line that most guys on the radio would just be singing the praises of Jesus and Allah. Thank you for letting me think of that one. They'd be even repeat it maybe 5-6 times because they think it's just so bloody funny. What are they going to do when this guy's out of office, this Clinton, and they've only got Gore to kick around? By the way, Gore released, or no, did Clinton release those barrels of oil? In other words, there's going to be another 30 million barrels of oil that they've released from the country's strategic reserve to help drive down the price of oil. Are they crazy? Am I missing something? Can't those guys in the bedsheet just go ahead and cut production and make the price go back up again? Huh? And like I said before, didn't we fight a Gulf War so none of this crap would ever happen again? Didn't we go down there and march down Pennsylvania Avenue with Arnold Schwarzenegger, the general, or whatever his name was, and all those guys working a motor pool? Everybody was a hero in that war. Didn't all those guys come home to the yellow ribbons so we wouldn't have to deal with these long lines? Man, I'm standing there throwing a frisbee while I'm sitting there taking a nap on the hood of my car waiting for a gallon of gasoline. Didn't we already live that life? I remember taking naps on the hood of my car waiting for gas. Two guys throwing frisbees. People reading, studying. Became a real day. You had to take a day off from work. You guys don't remember because you're just punk kids. It's in there sucking down. You might as well start drinking and driving. Hell, I ain't drinking and driving. I'm drinking and sitting. Didn't we have that whole thing there called that Gulf War thing so we wouldn't have to go through this before? You know, it wasn't really a gas line. It was Woodstock. Standing there, playing the guitar. And now we're back at it, man. Here we go. Got to cut the production and up the production, whatever the hell those guys do. And those OPEC meetings, man, don't you just, man, all these guys in bed sheets and suits and fezzes, and they're all going into like some swank-looking Hyatt Regency somewhere, like the, whatever the hell it is, the Hyatt Mecca. Going in, and they're sitting down, and, all right, how do we screw them this week, Eddie? Okay, yeah. Man, I'd love to be a bug on the wall in that, huh? I'd like to be a bellman. Just a bellhop at one of those OPEC meetings that they have. Those they look, I don't know whether they're all getting together and it's like somebody's wedding. You see guys in suits? Which are the guys in the suits and which are the guys in the sheets? What? And what are the guys in the fez? See a guy in a fez, another guy in a beret, another guy with a sidearm, another guy with a sheet, and we're all sitting there praying that these cats don't go ahead and cut production or whatever the hell they do to make our lives miserable. One war later, and it had no noticeable effect. It's kind of like those A-bombs we dropped on Japan. Two A-bombs, no real noticeable effect. Oh, the guy in the fez is a Shriner. Thank you very much. Mike Schaefer just informed me that the Shriners do bellman duty at those OPEC meetings. Thanks a lot for that, Mike. This has got to stop, I'm telling you. Well, I don't care, because I don't drive that much anymore. You know, I got a little import. And very gas efficient. But my wife, she's got that monster SUV, as do the rest of you. Don't kid me. I know you got it. And what are you going to do? You're going to sit there in line with that gas hog? Looks like the fun times are over. I'm going to go out and get myself a little Ranger truck. Get my wife one of those small Volvo station wagons or something. Anything that's cost efficient, fuel efficient, anything that we can all cram in and look like we're poor again. And, geez, those guys that came out, what's the one that's too long that you can barely get it into a garage, the Excursion? Isn't this, what great timing for that, huh? The new Chevy Excursion. Thank you. $2.05 a gallon. How many gallons does that thing take? Like 100? You can get gas in those things. If you get gas in the average SUV, which I do because my wife drives one, you stand there and you stand there and you stand there and you stand there and you see it ding, 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 ding. And the other day, I think it cost like $55, to almost $60 to fill the tank on this thing. And I thought we got below the $2 a gallon, not my friendly neighborhood, yeah. I'm your friendly neighborhood union guy. $2.05 a gallon. There ain't nothing friendly about you, and you're barely in my neighborhood. You ain't in my price neighborhood. 30-gallon tank, those things have got 150-gallon tanks. You can drive them all the way, you can go to Saudi Arabia. You might as well get your gas in Saudi Arabia with the tank those things got. What's that? Your bug costs $13 to fill it up and it goes for 2 weeks? I hate you. Are you selling me that bug, by the way? Schaefer's got a 58 bug. He wants to trade for my Ford truck. I mean, not Schaefer, Taylor. What do you got? You got nothing I want, Schaefer. All right, anyway, 1-800-449-8686. And the weather sucks in Los Angeles. I don't know how it is in your town, but here in L.A., it's raining, it's cold, it's overcast. I just put in a pool. God hates my guts. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show here. Phil Hendry, hi. Don't forget, we got our Best of the Year 2000 CD coming out very soon. And we also have our Casino Night 2000, which is coming up. And as you know, I gave up smoking, for the most part, back in October. I was talking to Craig Taylor, our engineer, and we are in a building here where everybody goes down into the courtyard and they have their cigarettes. You know, once upon a time in the days of the South, there was a thing called the Jim Crow Law. The Jim Crow Law segregated African-American people from white people, actually African-American people from anybody else. And you had to drink at your own water fountain. And also in certain parts of the country, I don't want to say just the South, because it was a horrible time. They were treated badly. People of color treated badly no matter where they went. And in many instances, you'd be walking down the street if you were black and some, hey, boy! People would yell at you from a truck. Or they would feel emboldened to actually say something to you. You never invited their commentary. But whites, you know, the ignorant atmosphere of this country at that time was that some whites would feel emboldened to walk up to a guy and say, hey, you, move it, or something like that. Now, you can't do that anymore, thank God. You can't do that anymore without risking some maiming or mutilation at the hands of the individual you're talking to. And that's a good thing. But we've got to have somebody to replace that underclass with. They're no more, you can't talk to a person of color that way anymore. I know, smokers. So that if you smoke cigarettes in America, you are treated almost exactly the way blacks were treated in 1920s Mississippi. Minus the lynching. But in some instances, maybe. If you look at a guy the wrong way and it just happens to be, you know, his time of the month, guess what? You're going to be swinging from a tree, too. But if you're a cigarette smoker, you pretty much are spoken to the way, you know, some coolie on a rail car in South Africa was spoken to some 100 years ago. Well, South Africa, some 10 years ago. Hey! Hey! You! Yeah? Put it out! You, boy! What are you talking about? I'm just standing here with like, put it out! You know, you're not inviting their commentary at all. You're not doing a thing. And this is coming from an ex-smoker. You're standing there, and somebody walks by. What are you coughing from? You're smoking! So, something ought to be done, and I think all of you smokers out there, if anybody does that to you, you have my own personal endorsement. Kick their ass. I think it's okay. I want to hit this one very... Oh, by the way, as I said, I just want to let God, you know, I know you hate my guts. I know it's raining and cloudy and crappy, and we just finished our pool, which means I'm going to just have to get into a spa tonight. I can't swim in our newly heated pool. Aw, shucks, what a rotten life I got. My wife is... How do I put this delicately? My wife is hanging out with some lesbians this evening, some dear lesbian friends. And so anyway... I'm going to be all alone at my house. Maria is a sweetheart. She's got some very dear friends who are of the lesbian persuasion. And I think it's because she admires hanging out with... I think she really likes these women because of the fact that they're lesbian. They are just already socially sort of out there a little bit. They're a lot of, and because they're lesbian, they sort of have to run their own families and they have their own businesses. And they're really... they're women that she really digs hanging around with. You say anything about the sex, and so help me God, I'm going to... No. She befriended these women because they're really her kind of women, you know, into business, into their families, into this, into that, you know, and they know how to give it as good as they get it because people have given them crap their whole lives. And so they're tough broads, too, right? I didn't say butch. I said tough. So she is... out there, so I'm at home, and that pretty much leaves me to do whatever the hell it is I want to do. She's hanging out with lesbians? Well, guess what? I can, too. And that's why you're all invited to my house, and I'll give the address at the end of the show. I'm going to go home. I don't know what the hell I'm going to go home, but it has to do with eating a whole chocolate cake. How about that? Since I really don't require anything else, my wife and I are happily married, I could invite Doug Danger over, the gay man and gay journalist, let's not forget. But no, that'd be a real bore. No, when I thought about what I could do tonight and all of the time that I would have to myself, I don't know why, but a 7-layer chocolate cake came to mind. Just sitting and eating that in front of, like, I know what I'd like to do is rent The Exorcist. Since I don't want to go see it by myself, the re-release is out tonight. I'll go see the old one, you know? 7-layer chocolate cake. What is that all about? What are you talking about, sex with the cake? I didn't say anything about that. It's got nothing to do with sex. Well, maybe a little chocolate. But that's Maria. She's probably already down there now. They're probably bellying up to the bar as we speak. Do I miss my wife? Not much, as the guy's hunching a chocolate cake. Okay, what's this about? Nothing. You don't miss your wife? No! Then why don't you put your pants back on and wipe that cake off before you do it? The cake looked good! And it wanted it. What do you mean it wanted it? The cake wanted it. Looking at me with all that chocolate frosted and everything. I knew it wanted it. It's all teasing me and everything. Take him away. He's out of his mind. What are you talking about, man? Come on, the cake teased me. So that's what I'll be doing tonight. You're all invited. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.